Bilney, reel number 7. What were your duties at South Shields?
My primary duty was an operational pilot escorting coastal convoys. But this being my first operational station, it was my first experience of administrative duties as well. A duty officer, a few men to look after, hut inspections, kit inspections, and so on and so forth. But the main job was flying, and we used to go off when the senior naval officer at the time ordered us out to take a convoy down or up the war channel or to go and look at any suspicious object. But I fear that, like many of the senior naval officers, he had absolutely no idea whatsoever of the capabilities of aircraft. And he used to order us out in the most impossible weather and impossible expeditions, and we used to take a pretty poor view of it.
Any particularly disastrous ones stand out in your mind?
No, but just that we'd go out, have great difficulty in launching a seaplane, first of all, in the harbour even, then go outside and frantically taxi around, get soaked to the skin, and never have a hope in hell of getting off the water. Or go out, and it was so thick you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, and so you weren't likely to see any enemy activity, even if you got airborne. And they were really, the orders were often completely ridiculous.
What were the reactions of your commanding officer when it had proved impossible to carry out his instructions?
He, who I disliked, he was a most unpleasant man, used to get absolutely livid, and he had more than one hell of a row with the senior naval officer, I know. But talking of the CO, he also had a wife, and there was an amusing incident there. She used to come up in the station and tell everybody what to do. But one day she was foolish enough to come up during a fire drill, and strange to say, one of the fire hoses slipped. She didn't come again. It's perfectly true. But my only real excitement up there, during a very murky, cold winter, we were often soaked to the skin and generally miserable, but I went off, I think it was one morning, to do escort a southbound convoy. It'd be just about, we had a hell of a gale for about 3 days previously, and I was about 6 miles out from Seaham, when the engine packed up absolutely dead. And I flopped down into the sea all right, but bent the two front undercarriage struts. The pressure under the nose of the floats riding a huge roller was such that it bent the floats. And although we carried wireless, it very, very seldom worked in those days. But fortunately for me, we had a couple of carrier pigeons. And I sent these off and gave my position and said I thought we'd float a bit longer. And by the time I'd done that, I found my, unfortunately, gunner had passed out with seasickness. And there we sat and waited. I drained the oil out of the oil tank, hoping slightly to calm the waters, but I don't think that made much effect. And very soon afterwards, about an hour afterwards, a patrol boat came down, which was ahead of the convoy, and spotted us. And first of all, they tried to float a life buoy on us with a grass line attached, you see. But they couldn't do that. It was too rough. It wouldn't go anywhere near us. So then they launched one of these little collapsible canvas boats, which bobbed about like a cork, literally. And they came alongside the floats, and I managed to sort of half lift this, unfortunately, gunner into the back, into the boat. I remember to remove one piece of His Majesty's property first, to wit, my watch, put it in my pocket. And I more or less fell into the boat myself. And we rowed over to this patrol boat. And I never forget getting aboard. She was lying off across the swell. And one minute, we were literally seeing the bilge keels. The next minute, we were up at the bridge. And it all sort of leaped for liberty, and that was it. However, we were picked up, we got there, and we got a line onto the old seaplane, and they tried to tow her, because she turned over and sank straight away. And that was it. And we were landed back at South Shields that evening. One thing I do recollect was, yes, it was after lunch she went out, because I know and I had some cauliflower gratin and a bottle of Guinness for lunch, and I think if you're not seasick on a bad sea on that, you never will be, and I never had been.
Tell me a little about these operational flights. How much flying were you actually getting in on patrol?
Oh, well, usually we're either curtailed by weather or by engine trouble. I would think in the average, probably about an hour and a half. Sometimes...
this is the average length of the flight,
You see. But I never once completed the whole patrol from Tyne to Farne Islands and back. Because on that Northumberland coast, you get most frightful fogs. And if there wasn't fog in the immediate vicinity, there would certainly be a fog, you'd run into one somewhere en route. Or, as I say, you'd get engine trouble or something of that sort. It was all a pretty frustrating existence.
How often were you able to get up?
I would think on the average about once in 3 days, something of that sort. Well, personally, I've been dependent entirely on the weather. I mean, three or four pilots there, you see, we'd perhaps be doing, if the weather was suitable, perhaps two patrols a day. But it also rather depended on convoys. If it was a particularly important convoy, then we'd break our necks to keep a pot of boiling and always have an aircraft over them. But we never saw anything or any excitements, but we had had a rocket one day from the SNO for not bombing a suspicious-looking oil patch. So the next one I saw, we did bomb. Well, I got a rocket for bombing a patch where a ship had been sunk, but nobody had told me it had been sunk, so what? And that's the sort of nonsense that used to go on.
You were at South Shields 5 months, from December 17 to March 18.
Yes, about that. And it was a pretty miserable existence. And you see, we always used to lend a hand getting the machines in, and the airmen all got waders up to here. They went too badly off, but we just went in and got wet. But the airmen in waders had a pretty rough time, because they used to get knocked over, and then the waders being full of air, their feet go up and their heads go down. And we had one pretty tough petty officer named Barris, who'd been sunk in a battleship by a German. And I remember him one day picking up a half-drowned wader, and the seaplane chocks in which we used to put the heel of the float on to get the floats onto the trolley were semicircular. And he just pitched this poor chap on his tummy over the semicircular chock. Then bounced up and down on him. So I said, "Here, Petty Officer Barris, what on earth are you doing?" He said, "We're just squeezing the water out of him, sir."
Yes. During this 5 months you were at South Shields, did you actually see any enemy aircraft submarine?
Not a sausage. Not a thing at all. The only thing I saw was a British airship once, and fired a recognition signal, and it frightened him to death, I think, because he rushed up about 1,000 feet straight away.
How would you evaluate your contribution, the contribution of these patrols?
Well, I think they must have been of some value, because the Hun at that time was very frightened of aircraft. There's no doubt about it. The submarines were always thought that we could see and do an awful lot more than we really could. I think they overrated our offensive power. I think had the convoys not had air escort when possible, they might have become very much bolder in attacking ships in the war channel. So I think although it was frustrating, we were probably doing some good.
I think it was Trenchard, wasn't it, who said that the moral to material is as 20
yeah,
to 1 in
yeah,
the contribution
okay,
of
yeah.
aircraft.
And I think he's perfectly right, actually. It's the negative effect is very often more than the positive. But it was a pretty unpleasant 5 months on the whole. At the end of my 5 months, I went home on leave and promptly developed pneumonia, which was somewhat careless. And that kept me out of action for a few weeks. Okay.
What were the impressions you gained of the attitude of the regular naval officers to naval aviators?
Well, generally speaking, they were just Nelsonic. The upper deck officers, quarter deck officers, executive branch, of course, were virtually had halos. And everything that Nelson did was absolutely right. And these new fangled, noisy machines which were flying around and weren't very reliable were just a damn nuisance. And of course, most of the chaps manning them weren't fit to be spoken to. In fact, generally speaking, they were...
Was that literally true? I mean, did you...
Well, not literally, but I mean metaphorically,
yeah.
At any rate. But their whole attitude was of utter superiority. And and extremely extreme ignorance of anything connected with the air. I mean, they were all right on the wooden walls and 12-inch guns and that sort of thing, but when it came to anything to do with the air, they just hadn't got a clue at all, and were far too cocksure of themselves to want to learn.
I imagine that this kind of attitude probably had the effect of making the personnel in the Naval Air Service feel that much more closely knit. They
yeah,
sort of bound together for their own...
Very true. And naturally, if we ever got a chance of having a dig at the Pucker Navy, we did.
Any examples?
We didn't get many chances there.
Any examples come to mind?
Well, and in my CO at South Shields, who didn't get on with the local senior naval officer, was summoned to the Almighty's presence one day, but he sent him a signal back saying he regretted that his... only white shirt was at the laundry. Rather childish.
I believe you have some other comments you want to make on the effect of your operations at South Shields.
Yes, at this period, the shipping losses from U-boat attacks were very, very serious indeed. We were all very worried about this. But as naval aviators with their short-range coastal aircraft, there was very little that we could do about it. But we were, nonetheless, extremely concerned. The powers that be, of course, were hastening their supply of the longer-range and longer-endurance flying boats from America, and also building our own, what were known as the F-boats, which were quite effective up to a distance of, 150, 200 miles. And they, in the end, particularly in the lower North Sea, they were extremely effective when they were operating from Felixstowe. They used to carry the war right to the enemy, right on the Belgian coast and the Holland Dutch coast, and they had many battles with U-boats and sank quite a lot of them. But it was a very, very sticky period.
What was your attitude to the... naval squadrons that were based in Belgium for strictly bombing operations? One of the criticisms of these forces were that they were carrying out not naval but military duties.
Well, I personally never heard of that, and I don't think I ever thought about it.
Okay.